Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, you owe reparations.
You owe me, homie.
Yes, you owe reparations.
You owe, and you gon' pay.
You owe us back.
Give it here, give it here.
Yeah. Gon' pay.
Give it up.
You owe us back.
Give it here, give it here.
Yeah. Gon' pay. Give it up.
I'm a lover and a fighter. Looks like an all-nighter. We can rumble. Call me queen of the jungle. I'm worse than Storm, a cat woman. You can call me Lord Harry, Lord Harry and Tubman. They say you better bury, I ain't burying nothing. We want reparations, you gon' give up something. So make preparations, cause I ain't leaving here with nothing. No, I can't take you with me, but I can leave it for my turn. Just like you did yours when you burst across the shores, when you took it from my land. So we can build yours, but then you stole that too. They say Messiah, you started in trouble, they want me to hold back too. But take a look at our history, let's go back through. Take a moment to listen to me, I don't know about you, but I can't forget what it did to me and the original crew. They got our peeps in the penitentiary, they targeting our youth. We better wake up or eventually, we're gonna be through.
Isn't there a statute of limitations? Must we still be expected to pay reparations? Look at you, you're like Lazarus, begging for our crumbs. You're getting hazardous, standing out there with your thumbs, begging for a ride. If that ain't the pot, calling the kettle black, we ain't gonna stop till we settle that. We got the block for a lock, we taking our people back.
Alafia and greetings, Hotep, and happy early New Year's to every one of you. I hope you're set for a celebration this evening. This is the celebration of the third annual Christmas celebration / Restoring Peace to Nina Simone. You got your Omi Inca 7 here live, coming to you straight from my living room. I am your advocate, the one you need. I am your advisor, the one you need. And I am your Maliwa. I am your mother, too. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, as we wind down to the last few hours of 2016. We're preparing to go into 2017 and adventure upon a new year. Isn't that grand, ladies and gentlemen? We like to welcome each and every one of you, and I hope your parents are in the room this evening. And we want to engage you, ladies and gentlemen, by asking you to call into the room or come in and be a part of our classroom that we have available to you, our chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the third annual celebration of Restoring Peace to Nina Simone. As we combine that with Kwanzaa, our seven principles of Kudachajalia, Ujamaa, Imani, faith, we bring all of the Nguzum Saba seven principles together to talk about them, because we go right on into the new year with this Kwanzaa. And we did talk very vividly yesterday about what the little ladies of the house could do to incorporate Kwanzaa, African style, Yoruba style, into their annual Christmas party. If you haven't heard it, ladies and gentlemen, go out and listen to it. We had a little static on it, a little sound problem on it, but if you turn your radio up a little loud, you will be able to hear it. And that was dedicated to the little lady of the house who prepared annual celebrations such as parties for the household to later on venture out into possibly setting up your very own monthly temple. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, every one of you should have a celebration that goes into practices of your spiritual teachings to have your own very own temple. Give it a name. And then if you decide to make it a membership, go out and get your boards of directors put together and collect funds for the membership and have a once-a-month annual spiritual gathering where you come together to have your own temple ceremony. And we talked about rituals and the benefit of rituals and why it's necessary to have naming ceremonies for our children and rename them African names. And have dedication, dedicating our children back to the Creator, Oludulamare. So if you have not refreshed your memory about those things I've been talking about for the last 6 years, go out and take a listen on the shows on demand. Now, what I have that is more exciting than anything, and some of you already know the cat's out the hat, you've gone to my Facebook or my Twitters, and I've announced the new opening of our Music Consortium / website / store, where our people can go to the website. We are featuring a series of 5 different activities going on. One is for the month of January. We're going to be doing a dedication to Robert DeWitt Jackson. I think that's in February, the 20th. We're going to be hollowing the space off for him. And then there's also one for a group gathering for basically just a gathering, a great circle gathering to discuss things. And we're asking you to come out to participate. Where are you people who are off work? Shouldn't you be calling into these radio stations? Are you too busy where you can't come on in the evening or during the day? Wake up. You got to get busy, ladies and gentlemen. We got to start the building process. We're coming into a new year, ladies and gentlemen. We have a new president. Things have changed, and they're going to continue to change, and we've got to hollow out a space for ourselves. Now, also on that website, what you will find is that it is dedicated to my music. As you know, I'm a music lover, and I am a previous contracted international acclaimed artist. Yes, I was given a contract while overseas in Germany. As long as I stayed there, I could keep my music contract as long as I wanted. Once I step foot outside of the country, I no longer am obligated, or nor are they obligated to a contract to me. As a matter of fact, Mother Teresa stepped in and got all the proceeds that came from us doing that little cut on television, The Candle in the Wind. So all dedications go to Mother Teresa. So I might want to think about handing out the plate here in the States for Mother Teresa, since she's getting all of our royalties. Nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you a little bit about how to engage your career in the music industry and make it possible to go across the waters and transition overseas to do your music and to be able to make money. That's right. Everybody knows, and myself, know that you cannot compete with the competition here in the States. At least I couldn't. I could never make any money at it. I was always just given a chicken dinner here. Little did I know that once I transitioned across the water, the 9-hour trip to Europe, that that would be different. I was able to be paid on a weekly basis, ladies and gentlemen. I really was so surprised that they wanted to pay me for something that I love to do, that I really couldn't believe it. It was right on time, and the funds were timely, because at that time, I was the head of the household bringing in the moolah, and we could use that extra cash until my husband transitioned into employment. So I was just overwhelmed when I found that I could be given a contract. I wasn't even trying to land a contract, and usually that's how it is. I was in the process of going to apply for a job to teach school, something that I knew that I could get a job at with my license. However, I was deterred from getting that job, that moonlighting evening job at the college, and in lieu of going out to compete for a spot with the Jackson Singers. Little did I know that the gentleman that was on the board that was doing the selecting was from Indianapolis, Indiana, Bob DeWitt Jackson, or Robert DeWitt Jackson. That is why I am going to find it necessary to hollow out a day that we can acknowledge him for all the great works that he's done in recruiting African Americans while on tour overseas to be a part of his outstanding, tremendous group that has traveled all over the world and that was one of the first African American groups to go behind the Berlin Wall after the walls were torn down. Of course, I wasn't with them there at that time, but they have the legacy of being the first African-American traditional gospel group to go behind the lines to mend the process of the Russians and the Germans and the Jewish people to coming back together. That is a legacy to be proud of, ladies and gentlemen. I am proud that I was a part of the Jackson Singers and still am. Because as much as I would like to be there, my heart is still with the group. And most of the members come from all over the world, Kenya, Africa, other parts of Africa, the States, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Gary, Indiana. So Bob Jackson did a great thing. He immediately noticed that I was from Gary, Indiana, and formed kinship with my family and I, and forevermore had his hand in our life. And he steered me, taught me how to sing on note, taught me how to sing from diaphragm, and steered me in the right direction. I couldn't have had a better mentor than Bob DeWitt Jackson. And he has a brother, or excuse me, a nephew here in Indianapolis that I'd like to make contact with so that we can do justice and honor to his uncle, because he certainly was a mentor and a family member to us. And as I talked about how Bob was very much involved with culture and making sure we identified our culture and history, he was a history buff. And we're going to be talking about that in February the 28th, so you definitely want to join us. And we're not sure if it's going to be on TalkShoe or if it's going to be on Blog Talk, but nevertheless, we will inform you. So the other actual gathering that we're going to have is the One Woman Show, where we're going to be bringing back Moses, what does she do? Harriet Tubman is who she is, but she was better known as Moses, the One Woman Show. And I haven't given up on that, because when February comes around for the Black History Month, I will be carrying this show into the schools to teach the children more about Harriet Tubman, who she was, and the legacy she left behind, and how we can summon her at any time to allow her to be channeled through ourselves and to speak for her on behalf of what needs to happen here in this dispensation, and what would she do about freeing us and freeing our minds. Because we're still not yet free, ladies and gentlemen. We might think that our bodies have been circumventedly let go, but our mind is still connected in bondage and trapped in slavery. So that's what I want to free, is the minds of the people, because people don't realize that the real challenge is the oppressor's fight for your mind. So the battle is not for encapping you in slavery in some cage or some bars that are locked down, but encapsulating your mind. The fighting battle is for your mind, and what you want to win over is your mind, and that's what I'm fighting for, is to captivate your mind, because a mind is a terrible thing to lose. And right now, we are in a battle for our minds. And ladies and gentlemen, those three events, and during the month of February, we have the whole month. So we'll be doing all kinds of things for the month of February. Hopefully I'll be out in the community, and I will be interviewing some children at the, some of the schools here in Indianapolis. And I will pick and choose those schools to donate my time to and to bring the One Woman Show to the school. Now, some of you know I have written a manuscript that has gone to print as sort of, I guess, a guide and a handbook and textbook for teachers to use for governing African-American black males. Now, as you've seen there, the cover is there. Now we got to put the manuscript with the cover and go ahead and push it out in a wireless book. Nevertheless, some of the poetry will be out on my webpage. It's listed there, the actual poetry, but you can go to lulu.com and you can purchase it there. And at lulu.com, it's online as a wireless book, but you can purchase it there. Hold tight for 1 minute. We'll be right back. Hold tight. All right, we're back. And what I was just saying is that we are preparing to open up our website. It is a conservatory music academy where adults can go to this website and they can actually follow us and see the feature schedule we have for activities that we're doing locally as well as outside of the state. And they can follow us and be able to be a part of what we're doing. They can listen to the tracks of the actual shows from Blog Talk, our radio station, and they will be able to download tracks from my music, as well as from my poetry. So you can go on that line now and find some of the Blog Talk sessions that are there. And for a short time only, the poetry will be free for you to download the tracks as well as for the Blog Talk shows, which has always been free. But we will feature on our store materials that our priests and priestesses as well as our devotees will want to purchase. And those materials are being uploaded as we speak, where you can purchase those. They are for sale, and they are materials and tools that most priestess and devotees would like to use. And it's the store is entitled African Apparel, Bed, Bath, and Beyond. And that means that we'll have things beyond just the bed and the bath and a lot of materials for African priests and priestesses. So this might be the place where they can go and order their materials and get them speedily. And there is a shopping cart where you'll be able to take your shopping cart and put things in there. Now, it has been published. However, bear with us because the things that you will be ordering, we're slowly working on putting a price tag to those African tools. So they are not up yet, so you can't really purchase them, but you can put your wish list together. Now, this website has been a long time coming. There is another website that's out there, and it's called the Lilly Institute for Exceptional Education. That is an academy for teachers and families who are looking for educational tools. That has been out there for a while now under wetweebly.com, and that is the Institute for Family Education. So we're about building institutions, and as you can see, I am building websites all over. I have one for the that I'm working on now just for the books so that you can go out and you can read segments of the books or you can download it on your Kindle. I am a bit of an IT person, and with the little knowledge that I do have, I try to put it to use. I don't profess to be an expert or an engineer, but I do play around with templates and designing and doing squeeze pages as well as creating emails that are actually going out. I'm trying to get involved a little bit in the webinars, and at one point I thought I was going to be doing webinars once a month to bring people in. I can do the same thing with my Blog Talk or my Shoe Talk where I can bring people in for conferences and sessions, and I've gained enough knowledge to know how to use these tools well, and I felt like it would be a little bit cumbersome to try to learn how to use the actual webinars right now, and that may be something in the future. But once again, this is a celebration, ladies and gentlemen. We're celebrating the website as well as celebrating our third annual Christmas celebration for Restoring Peace to Nina Simone. So why am I asking you to help me restore peace to Nina Simone? Number one, Nina Simone died kicking and screaming. She didn't leave here with things settled. There was much that was unsettled in her life, and things that had been stolen from her and taken away. I know what Nina Simone means, and I know what suffering is. And you're looking or listening to a woman who's had to fight for everything that I've gotten. No, everything didn't come easy for me, but I knew how to stand fast and stand, and when I've done all I can do to stand, remain standing. And I'm telling you, this organization was created for you to learn endurance. One thing I can teach you is that is endurance. If somebody put up you know, a fight against you, or if somebody is practicing racism towards you or impartiality for no reason, stand. And I do mean that, stand, and remain standing. And when you've done all you can do to stand, I say remain standing till endurance. Just like Queen Nzinya say, she says, I will persist. I will persist, and I will insist. There's a difference between insisting and persisting. You've got to stand fast when opposition hits you in the face. That is your test. That is your burden to bear. And when it comes knocking at your door, don't say, why me? Meet it proactively and do everything you can to appeal it and go to the uttermost to appeal it. People know that I believe in fighting and fighting for things that are right and helping others to fight when things are not right. Don't be a jellyfish. Don't be a coward. Don't expect someone to do more for you than you are expected to do for yourself. Be an advocate. Advocate first for your self-advocacy, and then reach out your hands to others to help advocate for them. Now, the principles that we're talking about in Kwanzaa encompass all that I'm talking about in the Comedic Institute. Right there in Chicago, I was taught the Comedic understanding of using all of the God-given rights that our ancestors fought so strongly for over in Egypt. That's right. You are a part of those ancestors, those Egyptians. That's you and you're them. They fought feverishly to get things established in the area of Iwatelu, good character and good conduct. Don't think that they were able to accomplish all of those things and put not only the Ten Commandments, but the 142 commandments on the wall that they lived by, because they knew that in the end, they wanted to take all of their precious material things with them to the grave, but they also will be judged, and their hearts had to be found light as a feather. So when you go through the scales of life, make sure that you're treating people right, and make sure that you understand what gratitude is, and show gratitude when things are given to you, and humble yourself. Jesus only knew humility. And he only knew how to heal because he humbled himself. Because of his humbleness, he was able to heal the people. He knew their needs. It's very vital that every one of us become an evangelist. Everyone has been called to be an evangelist. Not only myself, but you and you and you have been called to become an evangelist. So act out your work and your purpose, because where there is smoke, there's usually fire. Don't run from opposition. Meet opposition head on. If there's something in your community that needs to be straightened out, my goodness, you don't need Madam C.J. Walker to come back here and straighten it out with her straightening comb. You can straighten it out. Get enough people together to petition against things that are not right. And put your voice out there. Write referendums. Write letters. And I didn't mean And I didn't say get up and walk up and down the sidewalks and streets and subject yourself to beatings and ridicule. I didn't say that because I have never believed in the marches. I believe that you can put people together in an assembly line to write letters. Use the pencil as your and the ink pen as your power. It is very powerful for when you can use the words of wisdom to persuade people to change their ways. I believe in putting the power of the pen. If there's a referendum that you can get behind and sign it, or you can write your own, then do that so that you can make the radical changes that needs to be made. Now I want to speak to the churches that are talking about we're going to do this and do that, and we're going to get so many church dinners, and we're going to bring so many churches here to listen to us jump up and down and holler and scream. I'm talking about getting together, teaching people how to write referendums. Those who can will perform. The ones who can't will lick the stamps and put the letter in the envelope. But the others of us who can write and transcribe, we're going to have to use a bit of our Egyptology skill. As you know, the little Egyptian man that stood with the wings on the bottom of his foot, the scribe. They were immaculate in writing, and scribes came from Egypt. We were the inventors of writing. We were the invention of using our ability to scribe and write things. So why not put together an assembly of people to write and to set up petitions and stop that doggone marching? Because it hasn't gotten us anywhere thus far but knocked upside the head and in somebody's jail cell. Now, I don't want to get on that because that's a whole other issue. And I'm not here to defend that marching. And I know black lives do matter. And I know that we're not just saying all lives, because the black lives are the ones that are being put out front with the large numbers of people being put in jail. So we're not going to get on that subject, but what we're going to talk about is Nina Simone March in the Civil Rights Movement with Dr. Martin Luther King. And what her desire was to march with him that last final time before she passed on. She didn't get that opportunity to march with him, but she did pull her pistol like Hare did. Hare pulled her pistol every chance she got. Nina picked up on what Hare was doing and pulled her pistol. She got everybody's attention then. And she fired a couple of shots up in the air to let them know she meant business and she wanted her 70 albums back, who someone had stole from her. Yes, Nina died kicking and screaming when she left here. She was fighting and putting her legacy on the line. And she didn't mind telling nobody about it. And she sang her mama blues all while she was doing it. And she talked about Mississippi and Alabama and Tennessee making her lose her rest. And she also called up the name Goddamn Mississippi and got her song taken off the radio. But nevertheless, that was the bare roots of Nina Simone being formed to protest against things that weren't right. You could always find her song in the protest category because her songs were speaking about things that weren't right. And she was retaliating against those things. So I know she died here kicking and screaming. Her family and her daughter are still trying to recoup things that belong to Nina Simone. Now, her music is royalty-free, so you see everybody and their mama trying to sing Nina Simone's song. I don't want to be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. Uh-huh. And the three women, everybody singing her songs, feelings. All my life I know nothing but feelings. Oh, I wish they never met me, girl, these feelings in my life. Yes, everybody's singing her song. Everybody's singing her song. Oh, yes, a change is going to come. They're singing her songs that we all have feelings, and we all can experience a feeling. Nina Simone's songs are being grabbed up so fast, and for you artists out there trying to reinvent the wheel, there's so much you can do to help with Nina Simone's legacy. It's already been built. All you have to do is get behind it and make it happen. Her daughter will even comply with you and email you and talk to you about all the things she wants to get done. Get behind her and help her. This is Restore Peace to Nina Simone's Month. This is a holiday we're celebrating. And yesterday, day before yesterday, the 29th, was a date that was hollowed out for Nina Simone's Day. That is the day that we have deemed the holiday for Nina Simone. And when I get the time, I'm going to get enough referendums together to get that date actually put down in the history book as a holiday for Nina Simone. And then maybe, just maybe, I'll have enough time then to get together a choir or group and we can go and lay down some tracks on revising some of Nina Simone's great hits. I want you to know you must find those outstanding heroes and sheroes that meant and stood for something and get behind them and behind their work, then hollow out a space for them. I know that we have another great elephant that we have to look at acknowledging. And I'm talking to all of you Ifa, African, traditionalist people. I know you know who I'm talking about or going to talk about. And that is a great elephant, Chief Manahochi Wali Zanu, has got to have a hollowed out day. And we're going to give him a date and hollow out some space right here in the state of Indiana, because he was a prolific teacher throughout Indiana and abroad in Africa. And we're going to hollow out a space for him. He wanted an actual garden so that people could come and sit and listen to him tell stories. And then they could fellowship and sing some of the Orisha songs. That is our next challenge, is to bring him alive, because his spirit will never leave us. And if you listen out on the Facebook, I had sent out an actual tape where he came back to do a prayer. And you can hear his voice and all of the spirit that was left in his voice as he sang before he transitioned from this earth. Now, once again, this is the third anniversary of Nina Simone, Restore Peace to Her, and we're talking about Kwanzaa. How many of you know that principles and character is very important? We are slowly losing all of our character and all of our mother wits and all of our principles. We are throwing it out the window for all these little shiny garments and items and cars and whatchamajiggers, all in the name of our mother wits. And that was the only thing nobody couldn't take from us. They couldn't take our integrity from us. No matter how low they would depict us, they couldn't take that away. We were black and we were proud. We wore our afros and held our fists in the sky and said we were black and proud. And we were. Our dignity is what we pride ourselves on the most. Now we are fighting over material things that don't even belong to us. They can be put up in places where moths can get to them. And they will perish, and they're temporary. They're temporal. The only thing lasting and permanent is spirit. So pride yourself on acting upon the spirit, because the spirit never changes. The spirit is consistent, and it sees all things. So we are practicing spiritual things. Let us stop now and let us dedicate a prayer to the ancestors and call them in and ask them to join the greatest circle. For those of us who still believe that we can never die and who believe that just separating ourselves from the ether in the air and going back to dust does not mean that we're dead. We're three-dimensional creatures. We're immortal, and we don't die. And because we're immortal, we're in the atmosphere, and we can be called back at any time. And it is up to the living to stay in contact with the dead. So let's contact the so-called dead today and bring them back to the greatest circle and help them come back out of the miry clay. And for those who are still over in the middle passes, we can even call their voices back too. We can go as far back as when the inception of our Creator God was, that we don't know a time when the African wasn't. We were always here. We're the oldest people, and we are the grandparents of all of the world. And we did create reasoning. So come, 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 and let us reason together as we pronounce prayer up on the ground. We stand before you today, Father God, with our hands held up, waiting to receive. In this brand new year that we're going to bring in, we pray that you will be a part of bringing us back to remembrance that it was you, Oladulamere, who gave us the essence and place your breath in us, which is called Imi. The rattling breath of Imi still yet resides, rule, and abides within us. We know at any time Imi can be snatched out of us and the rattling will go with it. But we are asking and trusting that you will let us see another day, that our missions will still be here on this side of the plane, and that as we call the ancestors, Chief Metahochi, Wali, Zanu, back to his proper place. Take your place, Father. Tommy Pete Harvey, take your place, Father. Robert Jenkins, take your place, Father, here at the head. Essely Pope, take your place, Mother. Clara Jenkins, take your place, Mother. Mary Lou Hawkins, take your place, please. Abbas Yassin, my father, take your place right here, my father. Chief Metahochi, we know you're in your place. We're asking Brother Carruthers to take a seat next to you. Ben Yakin, take your seat. Take your seat, Madam C.J. Walker, take your seat. Nina Simone, take your seat. Maya Angelou, take your seat. Madam C.J. Walker, take your seat. But walk that walk one more time for us so you can help us straighten it out. Joe Lewis, take your seat. Armstrong, please take your seat and blow your trumpet one more time. We ask that you would take your seat as we pour libation to the east. And we say, Ashe. As we pour libations to the west, and we say, Ashe. As we pour libation up to the south, and we say, Ashe. And as we pour libation down to the north, we say, Ashe. And as we say, Ashe, we know the greater part of us is within our ancestors. And you're the sum total of why we came. Help us to remember that your very DNA lies within our cosmic record. And we can tap into your cesspool from your melanin-enriched blood and draw from your greatness. None of you have left us. You are all here in this room. As we commune together with the ancestors, let us lock arms and walk over each other's backs as we pull each other up after we've reached the other side. We thank you for this opportunity to restore peace to Nina Simone, to remind the world of the greatness and the genius she was in her classical piano playing, in her jazz singing, in her folklore storytelling, in her ability to use music to draft and graft us back together and to tell the story to those who embarked upon her with racial injustice, and those who start to put her as low as an animal, she rose above it. Now, we thank you that she has made her transition, but she could never die. And amongst us, as long as we sing her music, we keep her alive. We keep her alive, and that is why we're hollering out of space for her today, that she will never die, but live in the hearts of the children. As they sing, lift every voice and sing, they will remember that Nina once sang that song and incorporated it within their schools and within their communities. I want you to know, Nina, we haven't forgotten about you, and we keep on kicking the door, Nina, like you said. Like you told us, someone told you to keep kicking the door, Nina, until they let you in, that eventually they're going to let you in. Now, we have kicked the doors to talk to people about this reparation that they owe us, and we keep kicking the door, reminding them, you paid everybody else, now it's time to pay us, and we're not going to stop knocking until we kick the door open. Now, Nina, we ask you to open every door for us, and go out ahead of us and fight for your own cause today as we say amen, amen. Thank you so much for going on that little journey with me as we resurrected our dear sister Nina Simone. We have been talking about bringing Kwanzaa into being, and we are talking about our first fruit. And we want to give our first fruit back, whatever your gifts are and whatever your talents are. If you would like to come in this room and do some poetry, spoken word, you're welcome to do so. We will also be on New Year's Day for you to come in and to show and improve. Now, I'd like to say, I want to send a shout out to Kamani, who actually runs the room that is possessing the mic and performing, acting, demonstrating. He has an actual site where you can go to his site and you can demonstrate your poetry or your songs. He is a talented, orchestrated theatrical drama person as well as a poet, and I've interviewed him here on the show. And he has given us, he has given many of us a spot over on his website where you can go and set up your own groups and demonstrate your ability for being an artist. So please go out and patronize Bless the Mic. You can Google that and go over to Kamani's site and then set up your own site. Now, I've also told you that you can have your own mall, and I put some things on Facebook to allow you to go out and sign up for free to have your own mall where you can upload your items you want to sell and as well as go out and make purchases. Please go out and read up on that affiliate and see if it's something that fits in your book. It will give you the chance to have your own mall. That's right. And I'll be using it with my store so I can upload some personal things there, and that will be your own mall. It's called Triple Click. And it's out on my Facebook. Please read up on it before you sign anything. It is a free affiliate. There is no fee to pay. There is no fee to upload any of your products. And they also have a bartering system for bartering some of their products that you might want off their website. Now, instead of going to the store, here's our opportunity to patronize ourselves and to have our own stores online, and it becomes a little more as you upload those items you want to sell. Now, I am about building institutes. So when I leave here, I'll have some institutes to leave behind. Now, we also want to leave some filthy lucre behind, whether it be gold nuggets, whether it be silver, precious metals. And I'm not talking about no LTD televisions. I'm not talking about no talking watches. I'm not talking about no cars. I'm talking about some things that actually hold their value, such as property. And we also have on our site, and we're currently putting that on there now, is a course on preparing for Pathfinder's homes. How do you prepare to buy a home? What do you need in order to buy a home? And in today's time, is this a good time to buy a home? Why, sure it is. Interest rates are lower than they ever have been. Now, you watch the stock market, but you got to watch the interest rates, too. They've come down as far as 3.25%, and they're slowly rising back up, people. So if you're going to purchase anything, now would be the time to purchase while the interest rates are low. And there are programs out there to assist those low-income families, to assist them with their earnest money, to assist them with their down payment money, and their prepaid closing fees as well. We want to get involved in educating you about housing. Some of you know the difficult time I had and went through with my home and the fight that I had and how the teachers and all of us got together to band together to create support groups to help one another. Well, here's a chance to help yourself by taking this course, and it will cost you a small nominal fee, but you will get a certificate upon completing it, and will allow you to take that certificate and apply it to your prepaid items and your down payment so you won't be out of a large amount of money. Those monies will be given to you. That's right. Upon completing the course successfully, and I don't mean with a D or F, I mean completing it with an 80% or better. It's very vital that we should take advantage of these programs, these Fannie Mae programs that will soon leave the system. And while they're here, we can't keep talking about, can't nobody buy no home, ain't nobody got no money. Somebody has set aside some money for you. And I told you Obama would be doing some things that you will need to take advantage of, and this is one of them. That Fannie Mae program that's put together out there has been out there for a while now, and nobody has taken advantage of it. At least the people here in Indiana don't even know it exists, but it's there. It is there for the people who have low income family income. And guess what? You don't even have to be living in the household. You could be a non-occupant who wants to give your mother some money to help the income level, where you can use your income level to connect it to your mother's or your sister's or your brother's or auntie, so that they can have the debt-to-income ratio they're looking for. Now, these are the kind of things that we're going to be pushing in our classroom, not just get another degree. Heck, I can give you a cover I have that I haven't done anything with. I'm telling you how to take these certificate knowledge to help yourself, to better yourself, so that you can increase your equity in your portfolio. You need to create portfolios so you can show, like the military do. They go to war, they go to the army, but they build a portfolio for themselves because they know at one time it will be time to transition into a civilian. And when you come into a civilian, you need to have a portfolio of stocks and bonds and all the money that you set aside. Now, they can tell you better than I can, but it's very vital that as we talk about Kwanzaa this year, we're not talking about just passing on gifts and material things that could do nothing with. Let's pass on some knowledge. And what I give you this Kwanzaa is knowledge of bettering yourself as a consumer person who is taking advantage of your rights to understand that every man and woman must own some land and property. It is your 14th Amendment, your right. I don't go telling me you reaching the glass ceiling and you up there with the big wigs and you making big money and you still living in an apartment. No. You need a write-off. You need to go and find yourself some property. I don't care if it's refurbished property, short sale property. I don't care if it's REO property. I don't care if it is VA property. I don't even care if it's HUD property. Go and find yourself some property and invest in property, because property is what's lasting. The equity can grow in property. And when you need to help your mother or your sister or bury somebody, you can go pull the equity out of your home. It is a bank. You're sitting on a bank once you buy a home. Now, I don't need to tell you that. You can research that for yourself. But what I'm trying to tell you is don't go buy any shiny little trinkets and little assets that you think that are going to be lasting, and you take them back to the pawn shop. You can't even get the money out of them that you paid for. You always can get the equity out of your home, unless the equity has depreciated. While it's still appreciating, you can get the equity out of it so that it becomes a bank. Now, I don't have to tell you that you first home buyers, those who have children, yeah, you got your write-off, that's good and everything, but eventually those children will go off to school and you still will need a write-off. And having a home is a tax write-off. You can get a homestead on your home, a tax exemption, and lower your taxes. Yes, you might have an association fee. You might have an association fee on a condo or a townhouse, all those things. And those are the kind of things we teach you in these classes. Now, I'm not an expert, but I've been studying housing for a long time. And I've bought many houses in my lifetime. And there is something I can give you back. And through some programs we work with, we can also offer you a certificate in these classes that are very valuable, that are worth up to $3,000. So think about being a part of the classes that we are going to display on our website. And once you see them displayed, join the caravan. Get on the caravan and join. Join hands on the caravan and be a part of those Pathfinders classes, those framework classes that help you to entertain purchasing a home and making your transition out of the apartment. And for the first time in your family, you could be a legacy and leave a legacy behind of being a homeowner. And it's very vital. I think every one of you should have the right to own your property and land. I fought hard for my property and land. And people that know me knew that I went all the way to the limits. And I had a battle on my hand. And I stood strong, and I persisted and insisted all the way to the end. And I'm telling you, you could get your property back. You could purchase yourself some more property. You know, God knows and he plans, and he's the best of planners. So I want you to understand that having this website is going to be beneficial for the whole community that's in our tribe. That's right. Those of you who are a member of our friend group will have access to all of this. If you're not a member, you just can't walk in and say, "Omi, I like that information." Sign your name and become a member. It's free to become a member on my Facebook or on my Twitter, on my Twitters. You can follow me or LinkedIn and my Googles, and that would give you the opportunity to have access to all these things we're going to be doing. I had to get out of the classroom to come home to the community to offer up some of these things to our community, because what difference does it make if you're doing so good teaching these children, but you're not doing anything for the community? You have to make a difference. Today is a celebration, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing Ujamaa. We're doing Kujek Chajalia, Ujama. We're doing collective work and responsibility, the ability to name, to define for ourselves, to name for ourselves who our enemies will be, and the ability to have purpose in our life and to practice faith, imani, faith. Now, these principles should be developed in our lives throughout the year. We don't have to wait until the end of the year to put these particular character-building accolades up. They're almost like affirmations that we say. And mothers, remember that it's important to have an affirmation in your house. I had at the doorway of my house a scripture that came out of the Bible. I think it was in Corinthians, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to lie on that. I plead the fifth. I don't remember the scripture, but it said, I remember what it says. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And that was posted at my door. So everyone knew that came through my door that I was a praying woman, like a Shunammite woman, that whatever was a problem, I was going to take it to the closet because I was a praying woman. So I want to tell you mothers out there, yesterday I spoke to you, but I want you to be mindful of today. No matter what's going on in your life, you got to be like a moaning woman, like a Shunammite woman, believing for things you can't see and staying on your face for things that you want to prevail. You could turn a household around. You could turn a child around. Prayer changes things, and you can turn a marriage around. Prayer changes things. Now, why am I saying this? Because my sister stood in the gap for me and continued to tell me no matter what I saw or what she saw, she was going to continue to pray for me and my marriage. And I said, go ahead on, sister. Pray for me and my marriage if you think it's going to help. She persisted and insisted that she would pray for me and lay hands on me. And she did that every time I saw her. And she visualized for me what she saw coming in my life. If you have a prayer partner, continue to pray for your prayer partner and let your prayer partner lay hands on you and pray for you, because prayer changes things. When you are insistent and persistent, it will turn things around. I said turn it around. In the scripture it said that after you have been changed and after you have been inspired, go and help your brother and sister and help them turn it around. That's why you have a man. That's why you have the gears in your car, because it wasn't meant to continue to go forward. Sometimes you have to go backwards and turn it around. So use those gears and turn things around. Don't go suffering, telling yourself that this is how it's always going to be, and this is the only way it could be, and it's never going to change. Nothing's never going to change. If you have that mindset, it might not ever change. But if you change your altitude, it will lift your present state of mind and things will change. I declare they will change. Now, some of you women have given up on that marriage and you don't think you can fix it. Go and see the movie Fences. Very inspiring movie by August, who wrote that movie. Very inspiring movie for a woman to be able to make changes in a marriage, for a woman to be able to suffer long suffering and to teach her son through that long suffering that he should not return that with evil, but he should gain the knowledge of being able to still forgive somebody. Forgiveness is a big thing, and I think it should be a part of the Kwanzaa collection, forgiveness, because you cannot go before the Creator if you have art in your heart and you haven't forgiven those that you have art against. Now, you say, oh, I can't forgive them. Oh, I won't. Is it you won't forgive them or you can't forgive them? Everybody's going to be challenged with the ability to be able to forgive somebody for greater things than they know. It might even be for things that you don't think you can possibly forgive them for. But once you learn how to forgive, it frees you up. Because do you know it takes a lot of energy out of you to carry around unforgiveness? Once you forgive that person, you can take the burden off of your back. It takes more energy to hold grudges and to have unforgiveness. Once you've taken that burden off, you can lay down and take a long rest and sleep because you no longer have to carry that unforgiveness. So for this particular Kwanzaa ceremony, I'm adding forgiveness in there. So when you walk away and those husbands that you put under who you cannot forgive because they've done the unforgivable thing, I want you to find it in your heart when you look at fences and find that a woman not only had to forgive a man for going out in the street sleeping around, but he had to forgive him for bringing his product of his foolishness home to her to take care of. She found it in her loving heart to raise that child as if it was her own. She found it in her loving heart, but God found it in his heart to remove that woman from her husband's life altogether. But it's very, very vital that for you women out there saying you can't forgive, you never know what you can do until you're faced with it. It's very vital that you look at what it is that you haven't forgiven somebody for if you're stuck and stagnated in your own life. If you're stuck and stagnated in your own life, it is some unforgiveness that you have not been able to manage to forgive somebody for. So forgiveness is the charge today, ladies and gentlemen. If you can forgive, then you can gain what God has to give you. But as long as you hold on to that unforgiveness, you're going to be stuck yourself. And I want to tell this to someone, that as we talk about character, conduct, and all of these Kwanzaa and Nguzam Sabos, we put these things to practice in show and tell. We just don't put a bunch of principles up on our wall. There goes Uzuma. There goes Ujima. There goes Imani. There goes Faith. And then in our household is falling apart, and we're not implementing any of those principles in our house. Shame on us. Those principles have to first be implemented and practiced in our house before we can go lending them out to anyone on the airways. I have practiced those principles over and over and over again. And God has freed me up from unforgiveness and allowed me to go and to profess my unforgiveness and to allow me to accept the person back that was my friend for over 30-some years who I thought I could never forgive. You can forgive, ladies and gentlemen. You can offer a forgiveness that it will ultimately free you of your own captivity. So it's very vital that we take these principles of Kwanzaa, we incorporate them and dig roots that are deep and plant them in our household and plant them in the hearts of our children. So when they're in trouble, they will turn to them. They won't despair and abandon the strong-rooted principles that you put in them. No, they don't have to be from the scripture in the Bible. They just have to be hard, good principles that we plant in our children. There are 144 that the Kemetic people in the African age taught. And this is what Moses stole from the Kemetic people. The Ten Commandments, there weren't Ten Commandments. There were 144, thou shall not. And we need to read further and gather more knowledge about where these words came from that were so elegantly inspired in our Bible? Were they not borrowed or stolen words from the walls of Egypt? And were they not already here? And had they not always been here, but just a borrowed concept and placed in somebody's book called the Biblio, where they said they were inspired? They're a liar and a thief. They were stole off the walls of Egypt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me come down. Because as I began to look at Kwanzaa, I know it was a first fruit. I know it was created by Milana Karinga, and he used this as he talked about our conduct in the Hosea and how we are supposed to behave ourselves and how we're supposed to live. He left us with Kwanzaa so that we would have a statute. We would have some bylaws to live by. I urge each and every one of you to create bylaws and statutes that you live by and plant them very, very deep within your children's heart, so in the end time, they will draw from them and they will not bring shame to your household, but they will pull them and use them. It's very vital that you should understand, ladies and gentlemen, that during Kwanzaa celebration, we don't just put on the garb like I talked about the other day. Go out and buy fabric and have your outfits made. If you are a seamstress, sew your whole family's outfit. And if you can't sew, go to the store and buy these outfits. But definitely dress in the African garb during Kwanzaa celebration. Go out into the courtyard, into the community, and let people see you sporting your outfits of Kwanzaa. And let them be curious to ask enough questions and say, just what is Kwanzaa? And why are you dressing those costumes? Are those the costumes that the Africans wear? And say, by God, I am an African. I just happen to be here in America, but my dress and my traditions come from Africa. And then be able to tell them about the fabric you're wearing and which country it comes from. Make an exploratory discussion out of it and invite them to also celebrate Kwanzaa and give them a flyer. During this month, we should have flyers with the definition of Kwanzaa. We should have an outline procedure for how to celebrate during those 7 days. And we should be ready to pass out our cards and our flyers as a consultant to help those others get started with celebrating Kwanzaa. Because as we each one teach one, we can pass this on. And I'm sure your Jesus would have wanted you to do this. He would have wanted you to pass this on. Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around in his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can reach one. We each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we can reach one. The message is unchanging, go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus far away and door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus is the way, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can reach one. We each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we can reach one. The message is unchanging. Go ye into all of the earth and tell someone of Jesus
far away and door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus is the way, you must tell someone who will tell someone that Jesus is the way.
Go out and tell someone of the message. Tell somebody and go door to door and tell them, and be prepared to tell someone of the hope that you have within you. Because this is not just about a religion holiday, but it is a cultural holiday to talk about the culture and the heritage and the difference between what a heritage is and a culture, and how all religion came out of Africa, and how the customs and traditions were formed through Africa. As we pass on this lineage, this Kwanzaa can be a different season for you. It could be an educating season where you're carrying the word abroad and to those near and far who are not acquainted with Kwanzaa. Your customary annual Kwanzaa party, African style, like I told you yesterday, will be more than enough to invite your neighbors over. I don't care that they're Caucasian. Invite them over. Introduce them to Kwanzaa and show them, I didn't say show off, show them that you have a culture instead of just a heritage. And show them that you know where you came from and all the cultures sprung off from Africa, and that there's one civilization and that there's one group of people, and that is the human race, and that all religion came out of Africa and all races sprung off of Africans. It's very vital that you should educate them on their own textbooks, because they're the ones who have written this in the textbooks, and they're truly informing us of who we are. Have not we forgotten? Is our eyes closed? Are we still anesthetized? And is our classic record frozen? And do we need to tap into our melanin to remember exactly who we are? Some of us are coming into consciousness. Some of us are slowly waking up. Some of us know our heritage because we have tapped into the cosmic records and know of our substance. We are the Asiatic original people, and we are entitled to our reparation. I don't care what you say you're not going to do. I don't care why you say that you don't think we're eligible. I don't care if you say you think we're lower than a refugee. We are going to get our reparation. We will have our land and our property, and you're going to be the one to usher it in, because you'll be obedient to what God has told you to do. That's right. The gods are on the scene today, and they're waking up, and they're discovering who they are. The only reason we don't have our reparation is because we don't know who we are. Once we realize who we are, we will stand up in classrooms just like this and decree a thing. And the Bible said whatever you decree, it will come back to you. And God even said that he would watch over his very words to perfect them. So decree a thing, then perfect. Decree a thing, then perfect. You are perfecting, just like Queen Nzinga said, I will persist, I will persist, and I will insist. We have to persist that Kwanzaa needs to be incorporated in our classrooms, in our home. We have to persist that reparation needs to be incorporated into African-American lives, and we have to bring it and put it on the forefront. And I hope, Obama, that you're listening to this. If you could have did anything for the African American before you left office, you could have put reparation on the table and let us fight over and let the best man prevail. But what you could have did for us is a mere thing of letting us come out on the platforms to defend ourselves, and maybe your children could benefit from reparation. Excusing and forgiving property taxes and forgiving student loans. We don't have to have dollar bills in our hand. We need to have the transition of forgiveness of these things that were heaped upon us that should have been paid off after our forefathers came out of slavery. They paid the price off their backs, and off their lawsuits. So their lineage should not be suffering from those infractions. They should have all been paid. And now you should be issuing us the right hand of fellowship to be a part of this great country that we helped to build. But yet we still want, we stand wanting and needing and standing in the need of prayer. And yet you've served everyone but us, and you talk about bringing refugees back into this country, not over our dead bodies. We will fight to the cause. We will not fall lower than the refugee. We will not be the entity that the backs and the cornerstones of these corporations will build when we know our mothers and fathers worked on the railroad to sun up and sun down, till we know our mothers and fathers died in these trenches as they build railroads and they build streets and sidewalks and cities, as we know that our forefathers and mothers never reaped an education or never had access to owning property. These are our inalienable rights, which we will get back, because we will insist and persist that we have reparation. You owe me, homie. You owe me, as the song says. You owe us. We have brought pleasures to the community, to the country. We have put our talents on the line through blood, sweat, and tears. Those boys play basketball, football, and they give you the arena of entertainment. But yet you want to own them and reap the benefits off their back instead of giving them land and property to free their communities and to free this gutter religion that we have practiced about, I'm going to get mine and I'll wait till the sweet by and by. There will not be no sweet by and by for us. This is our utopia. This is the land of the free, and we will have our heaven here on this earth. We will not listen to the preacher about wait until you die to receive yours. That is a practice that they were putting upon the slaves. Yours will come in the end. No, it will come now. Now, freedom. Now, freedom. And it shall be received in this dispensation and this time. And these are the things that will be customarily preached by every one of our young children. They are not waiting until the afterlife. They want theirs now. And they know that they can live beyond 25 years because they're going after those things that we should have fought for them to get. And they're very angry because we didn't stand up. We let people bully us and kowtow us down, telling us we're not worthy. How can you say we're not worthy when we breastfed your children? How can you say that we're not worthy when we were the ones to give your children character and upbuilding and bringing them up? How can you say we're not worthy when you say that we're three-fifths of a person? How can you say that we're not worthy when we're the ones that is keeping this world going with our purchasing power, with our buying power, with our ability to love in spite of the devastating things that happen to us? How could you say we're not worthy when we're holding off the woes of all of the infliction that could be put on this country? How can you say we're not worthy, or how could you say go back home to Africa when you cannot exist without us being here? It is very vital that you should know that it is time for reparation. And during the time that we talk about Kwanzaa, reparation should be on the table, because we didn't have anything to bring to the table. And when we negotiated, there was no negotiating. You took everything and gave us nothing. And we struggled and smiled and say we would get ours in a sweet by and by. And we tried to compete when we had nothing to bring to the table. How can you compete? It's not a problem for us to have our own and stay on our own side of the block. I don't mind that. We don't have to integrate. And I think that it might be best we not, that we will know our proper places. But at the same time, let us yield for ourselves. Let us grow and be able to be prosperous. And let us benefit from our own dollar bouncing in our community more than one time. So as we talk about Kwanzaa, we talk about the goodness of what we could do to bring heaven here on earth. There is no heaven out there in the atmosphere, and there is no God coming down to part the sky to help you and I. We are the gods, and we have to raise up and help ourselves, and we have to create our heaven in the atmosphere of our mental capacity. Every day when you have no food, when you have to struggle, that's hell. Every day when you have to determine to put on the African face or the Caucasian face, that's hell. We are in the pit of the belly of the whale currently now. And there is no place that we will go off in the deep dark that will create hell upon us like the hell that's been already heaped upon us. So I take that hell off, and I am seeking heaven in the atmosphere. Everything that is good, everything that surrounds itself in pleasure, that is what I'm seeking. And everything that the kings and queens had at their disposal, that is what I'm seeking. I am do those things. When I do my work to the utmost best, and when I give all I have and all my possessions, and when I am able to forgive and don't have aught against my brother, I am do all those things. It is time, and the season is right, brothers and sisters. You are going to have your heaven here on earth. You're going to not only have 40 acres and a mule, but you're going to have that land which was entitled to you. Land did not belong to anyone. Until you put some slaves on it, it had no value. We are going to bring value back to this land where you've taken these houses and laid them up in HUD situation, REO situation, and DA situation where they're just laid up and people are living under the bridges. No more will you do this. We are going to step up and decree a thing because those houses belong to us. It is not right for us to be on the outside looking into a piece of property that we're supposed to inherit. Our children will have an inheritance, and we will leave inheritance for our children. And that's what Kwanzaa is about, leaving an inheritance of your customs and traditions, leaving an inheritance to your children so times won't be so hard for them. How is it that somebody can have a portfolio of 3, 4, 5 houses, and there's some that have never even purchased their very first house? That is not equal, and it's not right. How is it that some people can stock up these houses for their grandchildren and children-to-be and ones that are unborn when there are yet people here still slaving in communities waiting to get enough money to put a down payment on a house? I decree that with all the blood, sweat, and tears that's left within me, with every effort I have left to work with the causes of consumer rights for having proper housing and being able to possess not an apartment, but a house to live in, to own, with a contract and a deed. It's very vital that we should understand that we can't work all of our lives and expect that we have the good life when we're living in an apartment and we don't even have our own backyard. Come out of it, people. Wake up. You are not disseminating your money well when you don't invest in property that you own. When you are giving your money to someone else, you are helping them to get rich. You must leave a legacy for your children, a home of some sort. And you must think of paying your property off at least within 15 years if it's possible. And if it be, inshallah. But the main thing, you must go to these classes and learn about how you can prepare to get ready to make your purchase of your home. That land is there for you. And the reason why we don't have it is because we're not possessing it. We have to possess our land and possess our pulpit to talk about what is not right and what is shameful. It is shameful for houses to be laid up on every community, sitting there waiting for the REOs to take them and waiting long periods of time for short sales to give them to investors. It is a shame when someone who wants to possess a home and own a home has no way of breaking the lock. Well, we're breaking the lock today, and we're breaking the codes to these REO homes that are just laid up and people that could be in there occupying them. It is your civil rights. It is your 14th Amendment right, and this is part of Kwanzaa. What are the rights of an African? What are the rights of an African American? Are we exercising our rights? Do we know our inalienable rights? Do we know the 14th Amendment was written for us? And do we know the 15th Amendment has to be ratified? Do we know that laws can be taken away and we can also generate new laws? So why don't we generate some new laws so that we can get back on the referendum for talking about property owners and those who have homesteads and those who have tax exemption? We should not be paying apartment fees for buildings that somebody else is getting rich off of. We should own our own property. And I want to say for the record, Kwanzaa is not some fancy religion where we can feel pompous and proud. It has nothing to do with what you believe. Kwanzaa is our first fruit. As we give our first earnings or our first gathering of the harvest or our first work to someone, we need to give our first work to ourselves. The work that we do, we put aside money enough to be able to purchase or put a down payment on a house. Otherwise, you are working for nothing, and you have nothing to gain from it because you won't have anything but the write-offs from the children. Why are so many people putting their portfolios up and they own property all over the world? As you can see, Obama himself had bought property all over the world. He was smart to realize it's important to buy property while in office, so when he gets out, he has a portfolio build up. It's very vital, ladies and gentlemen, that Kwanzaa is not some little fancy activity that you do for play and you just do the 7 days. It's big business, ladies and gentlemen. People are profiting off of us in our sleep while we buy all these whatchamajiggins for Kwanzaa. Why not create a group of salesmen and marketers within your community to circulate that dollar so that the dollar will bounce in your community and so that the dollar will come back to your hand? We can't continue to make other people rich. We've got to learn how to benefit from some of the $3 billion purchasing power that we have and that we've been giving away. Now, I know the average non-melanite man makes much, much more than any black woman or white woman. I know that. But nevertheless, when we own our businesses and put our marketing skills together, we can take Kwanzaa and make a $1 billion business out of it. Why not think about it, ladies and gentlemen? Why not think about next year bringing the merchants to you and creating the Kwanzaa around the merchants so we can keep the dollar circulating? And that's what it's all about. Now, once again, we can no longer be ignorant of the facts that property and knowledge is power, and that having a portfolio is also knowledgeable. We cannot just continue to buy that shiny jewelry and that headdress, and people say, oh, they're just little children. They're just buying little whatchamajiggots and widgets, and they're not going to try to intrude and buy these properties. Some of these young basketball players, put your dollars together and become investors and go buy your block. You'll be impressing me if you go back and buy your block back. Buy your block back that's been shut down and boarded up. Buy your block back and refurbish it and bring your own contractors in to bring people back into the community and clean up your own communities and then invest where you lay and where your family is. Then you can go out to this white suburban area and buy your property and escape from the potential depressed areas. But you must do something about your own communities first, and you must take that money and use it wisely. Yes, you're doing camps out in the suburbs, but take some of that money and go to the non-suburban area and create the camp. It's very vital that we are going to be the ones that have to clean up our community and take our houses off a lot that are on foreclosure signs and that are in HUD neighborhoods. We're going to have to be the ones to buy it back and to refurbish it and make it a community again. So why is it so hard for us to find community? Because somebody's desecrated our communities and they've taken them away from us, and we got to fight to bring them back. So it's very vital that this Kwanzaa, we not only talk about getting dressed up, having a party, and singing and shaking it down and eating, we talk about business. And that is about our prosperity and making our communities our home and purchasing, having purchasing power. How do we bring three or four families together to purchase a home? It's possible. It's possible to go in there with your 3% down and purchase the home. And if you wanted to, you can let the first person stay in it for 2 years, and then you rotate and let the next person stay in it, and then you rotate and let another person, and then take that property and sell it and make the profit off of it, and then you will have excess property to disperse amongst one another. But you certainly cannot look at your best asset with a jaundiced eye and look the other way. Most people that come into our community and see boarded up houses, they don't have the jaundiced eye. They have prosperity in their hearts. They realize they can refurbish that house, fix it up, rebuild it practically, and rebuild it to the code expectation that were higher than what it was before it was built, and put it on the market and make a dime over a dollar, 10 cents on a dollar. So we've got to put our heads together, and that's what it's all about. And as we talk about Kwanzaa, we talk about prosperity, we talk about helping that particular marketer market his wares and goods in our community. And that may mean bringing in people that are involved in the construction area and putting our young people to work in our community. So we got Kuja Chajalia, the ability to name for ourselves, to define for ourselves who our friends and enemies will be. Don't let anyone create enemies for you. And don't let anyone perpetrate those in your midst who you don't like. You be the one to determine who your friends and enemies will be, because that's a part of Kuja Chajalia. And Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Don't be afraid of hard work. When you come together in a community like they do when they're building the habitat, you develop collective work and responsibility. But we really have got to have some imani, some faith, and believing in ourselves. And also believing we don't need a leader. Be your own leader. But come together when it comes to hard work and manifesting hard work together. And you, Gemma, your creativity. Okay, when you're developing your creativity, utilize some of your skills. And, man, you can go back to work. You can find some employment. Don't just think that the only out is doing something corrupted. There's a lot of creativity that you can use in building your communities back. And with Kwanzaa, we have the hope of building communities, that we can build community centers, and we can bring our older seniors there, and they can pass the baton, and they can teach us about humility, and they can teach us about heritage and learning about our culture and pass the baton to us so that we can pass it on to our children. Then we can help our elders transition into ancestralship, and then we can plant our elders in a community, and they can become legacies, and they can pass the baton on to our babies, our unborn babies that our mothers are producing, and they can pass that on, and we can leave some great legacies behind. It's very vital that you should understand that Kwanzaa came about because Malana Karinga wanted to be proud of what his ancestors left behind. He wanted to display the culture of his past ancient ancestors. He wanted to pass on something to his children of substance. And he wanted them to realize you did not have to be in a certain faith in order to have these cultures. These cultures are given to you because this is your inalienable right. The right to own property, the right to own land was your inalienable rights. You did not have to die and become white to be an owner and have ownership. You could still be an African American right out of slavery. I want you to know that about a group of our slave masters build institutions. They build universities with just a third grade knowledge, and they begin to continue to build these major universities. And they laid the foundation for some of the things that us master degree people are not even doing. We are trying to outdo one another instead of coming together saying, hey, we're going to put that school together and we're going to work together to have that school. It doesn't take very much to have a school. You don't have to buy a big building to do that. We found that there was a lot of great people who built good schools, who went right in their living room and took an area of the house and built a school and had all different grades in the same class and worked towards building the school. Now we got so many people out here that are going to build institutions. It takes so much money for them to get started that they almost lose the idea, lose the inspiration, and never get the school off the ground. And that's why I never said I was going to build a school, because I knew the work that encompassed it. You have to have committed people who are going to commit themselves to take on this tiresome effort. You have to have parent groups who are going to solicit and support you. That is the main foundation, is your parents. So those of you who are trying to do homeschools and try to teach their children about quantum from homeschool, you can do it. It's possible. It's possible to have a homeschool and school your own children. That would be the incentive. Have your own children there. And whosoever will come, let them come. And then teach them too. But it's very vital that you start somewhere and have some humble beginning instead of putting it off until it becomes a reality and a distant reality. It's very vital that we as black people start crossing the lines and stop this talk about they are from the other side of the track and they're not us and we're not them. We are all one people. We are all one people. And part of our problem is running over ourselves. If we can get self out of the way, then we can get on with the program, as the children say. As Dr. Kermit says, let's get on with the program. And she's one of my good friends, and she has vowed to help us get on with the program. And she is the judge, the jury, she is the lawyer, and she is a professor. So she wants to get on with the program. So I had to rush and put something together, because we're coming back on the air together and we're getting ready to get on with the program. And I'm talking about those babies that are stuck in the foster institution. I'm talking about those mothers who are going mentally ill because their babies are being taken from them. I'm talking about bringing the two of them together, having someone get together and bring all the social workers, all the people that have a vested interest in these children, all the special ed, all of the co-workers that work with these children, and who are getting paid from them. We've got to stop these mothers from running after these checks to get this label put on their children for special ed and putting them into the mental illness category. And I want to tell you that there isn't a real mental illness problem going on. What it is a deficit of people being dissatisfied and hopelessness is set in. Our very infants and toddlers are becoming stressful because they feel the stress through their mothers, and they exemplify what is going on in the mother's life, hopelessness. And when a child fails to thrive and has no desire to eat or to live, he's become hopeless, just like the mother. So we've got to get in there and address those mothers who are having children taken away from them, and there's no family members that we can pass these children on to, so that these mothers can continue their visitation. Visitation is very vital when you take a child out of the home. It helps the child to thrive. Once you take the child out of the presence of the mother, the child loses their ability to thrive, to eat, and then you have a problem with hospitalization of that child and the mental illness. And children should not be expressing mental illness at an infancy or toddler level. So it's very vital. We got some work to do, some real work to do. And we've got to come together as our so-called creators of this Kwanzaa to make things change. We got bigger problems at partying. So when we bring people to the party, we bring them to the party with understanding we're going to eat and shake it down, but have a mission and have an agenda and use that platform to speak to those mothers and talk to them about the injustice of child abuse in the home, and talk to them about alternative methods that they can use when a child needs to be chastened. But you don't chasten an infant and toddler like you would an older child. You don't put your hands on them and shake them to death. So mothers have to be retrained, you say, Omi. That's right. So we got to send our mothers back to school. And within our ministry, every mother, every firstborn child mother must go through a child development course and get the basic foundation. So when you come out swinging and blowing and beating up on a child, you got to tell us something, because you've been trained and now you have reversed what you know and have gone the ignorant route of physically abusing that child. See, you won't be getting to the social agencies. We're going to test chastise you, and we will be the judge and the jury right there in our community to straighten you out. Because these children become an excess on society and a burden on society with taxpayers' dollars. So we got to straighten out our social services right in our community and teach mothers how they're supposed to behave and teach every mother. The first year, you don't go back to work to nobody's job. You go home and practice child development 101 with that baby. That baby should see it from you. Don't go telling me you got to go back to work and you go have that daycare raise that baby. No, that baby care cannot raise that baby. You have to put your spirit in them. You have to learn what it is to be a mother the first year. And maybe we can get some taxpayers' dollars to pay you to sit at home to raise Jenny, because there's a real reason why Jenny can't read. That's because Mama haven't read any stories to her. Now, once we get the understanding of how to be a parent, how to organize and how to structure things so you work with both parents. If you don't have a parent, we'll teach you how to co-parent. You had a baby with somebody. That man's out there somewhere in the state of Minnesota. We had programs set up where you had to go and become co-parenters together through a program to learn before that baby's even born how to interact and how to raise a child as a team and co-parenting when they're separate. So that prevents those second pregnancies, and it showed you how to become a real parent, because there's too many of you having babies who know nothing about breeding children or being a parent. And that's our fault in the community. We're handing out too many checks and rewarding these single mothers when they need to be rewarded only for learning child parenting skills and incorporating it in their homes. So that's how it's going to go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the program. And you ask me, give us a program, Omi. Give us a program. That's the program. And like Judge Thomas says, what's the program? Let's get on with the program. Now we got the program. Let's straighten some things out. Let's look at how Kwanzaa can help make us a better parent and make our home a better place to live in. Our major problem in this city is our homes and getting behind those doors to make a difference. Our major problem, just like in certain government programs that are ran by the government and where they intervene, you find that there's a little more structure and a little more frightenedness for someone to do the wrong thing. Where you have no structure, there's tyranny. And that's why we have tyranny in these streets of these households of these single black parents, because there's no structure there. And anything can go on. Well, baby can't be scalded no more. You can't put no cigarettes out on baby, and you cannot beat baby and shake baby to death. That's not going to be going on. And we've got to put that out there, because you got a few ignorant people that think they can do what they want with this child and that no one could say anything. But something can be said and something can be done. So we're going to get with the program. Just like Judge Kermit said, let's get with the program. I want to wish you and yours a happy New Year. Tomorrow's New Year's Day. We will be on the air talking more stuff as usual. That's right. But we're going to be talking about how to better your life and how to be a better constituent of what we have to offer from Kwanzaa. We're going to show you how to implement these things into being. And I know Nina Simone is probably happy that we are restoring her to peace, and she can come back here and change that song and make some adjustments, and now she can go to Alabama, she can get her rest, and Arkansas, she can go there and see some peace prevailing in Mississippi. She don't have to look down on it anymore, because we're going to see these states make some changes. And she said those things because there needed to be some change going on. And she said a change had to come. A change had to come. And she wanted a change to come. I was born by the river in a little old shack. Oh, just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know that a change is gonna come. It's been too hard living, but I just can't die. Oh, I think I'll go on living in peace. It's been a long time coming, but I do know a change's gonna come. When I go downtown and I hear somebody say, brother, don't hang around too long. When I go to my brother and I say, brother, please tell me, would you please? Then he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, is it a long time coming? But I do know, a change is gonna come. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a change is gonna come. I'd like to bid you farewell and ask you to be with us tomorrow for the New Year's Day. And you've been listening to Maddie Harvey's Baby Sister, and we're on the air today talking about restoring peace to Nina Simone and laying down some foundation for our Kwanzaa so that we can renew Kwanzaa throughout the year and make a change in these households. I'd like to say to you, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and Odabo, have a good one.
Okay.